Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket Podcast. So excited to have you here live from the Vibe event in Los Angeles, California. Today, I have the privilege of hosting Dr. Rob Fraser. He is the Chief Scientific Officer, President, and Co-Founder of Molecular U Corporation. Molecular U was spun out of the Personalized Medicine Initiative, which Rob co-founded with leading scientists and clinicians in Canada to develop the framework and technologies to bring personalized medicine into healthcare practice. Such a pleasure to have you here, Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Saul. Really pleased to be here.
Yeah. Before we get started, tell us a little bit about Molecular U. What do you guys do and how do you offer value to the ecosystem?
Yeah, it's very self-descriptive, Molecular U. So basically, we're looking at individuals on a molecular level. And so we start with a blood draw and we look at over 250 blood markers. And those blood markers are all involved at some level in the mechanisms of disease. And so we take very great care in getting very accurate values. So we run them on a platform that's a mass spectrometer, which gives us absolute quantitation of everything that we measure. And we can multiplex it so everything's done at the same time. And we only need a single draw of blood. So it's actually quite convenient. And then that with that data that we get from the mass spectrometers, we run it through our algorithms, and the algorithms give us a very clear idea with accuracies ranging from 90 to 98% or even 99% of whether an individual is trending towards a disease or actually has a particular condition. We're not truly diagnostic, so we're looking at risk. Mm-hmm. And so our role in the health ecosystem is to give transparency into where individuals and where populations are so we can plan better, make better decisions and have earlier interventions.
Very fascinating, Rob. Thank you for that. How do you see digital transformation reshaping care delivery in 2024? And what are the main challenges and opportunities this presents?
Yeah, I think digital transformation, the biggest challenge is really getting the providers to play along because they've got some really hardcore practices that they've been running forever. Hopefully the new generation of practitioners are going to be more engaged in the space because I think it really just enables them to do a much better job. I see the biggest opportunity, though, is really getting patients more participant. We've had the sense that all of the information that lies within our healthcare system resides in the practitioners and the experts. And so we rely almost entirely on their expertise. And often once we leave the consultancy, you've forgotten what was said to you. And so you're struggling around and go to WebMD and they try to figure out, well, what should I be doing now? But what we see is empowering these individuals with their own information. And so they have that in their hand and they can check in on it at any time and they become fully participant in their health journey. And then they're equipped too to ask good questions when they are dealing with a practitioner. So I think digital is democratizing health and making it more available to more people.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely something that we are all benefiting from. And can you share some of the most exciting technological innovations you believe will significantly improve patient care and outcomes?
I think we're playing in that field. There's been a lot of excitement around looking at individuals' genetic background, and that's quite useful. You can get an idea of where, what sort of variants you might have that could affect your health. But it doesn't really tell you when or where that could happen, like which cells or which organs might be directly affected. So I think the really exciting thing is what's going on now. And so we've narrowed it down into those factors that are actually very dynamic. And so they respond to environment. They respond to what your nutrition is, if you're exercising. And you can really get control of those, whereas your genetics, you're pretty much stuck with what you're born with, right? And we're not really great at modifying genes just yet.
Just yet.
Yeah, let's hope for that day. For certain cases, I think there's some amazing opportunities that we've seen with sickle cell disease and things like that. It's really exciting. But I think for the most part, dealing with that dynamic part of our health is a really huge opportunity. And we see that too with monitoring systems, people that have the wearables and they can get a clear idea of how their heart rates are, blood pressures now, oxygenation, you name it. And that's telling you in real time what's going on. And I think that becomes a much more practical tool going forward. And that's where a lot of the big opportunities, I think, are coming in this space.
Got it. And so let's zoom in a little bit with specific to Molecular U. How does the technology you have impact the lives of patients with serious illnesses?
That's a great question. So we're fairly solid on the neurological space. And so because all disease is progressive, you can detect how changes are occurring prior to symptoms appearing. And so take something like Alzheimer's disease, and everybody's, it's a big fear of Alzheimer's disease. You get Alzheimer's disease, I'm done, there's nothing I can do about it. The truth is, even people that are getting diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and they do a lot of, around their lifestyle, just changing those factors, they can actually, they have better outcomes than most of the therapies right now.
Is that right?
And being able to get even earlier means it's a much easier thing to fix. And so the beta amyloid plaque formation isn't something that just happens. Our brains respond to assaults like inflammation, other like insulin resistance. And so these become really major players. And so if we can get into those precursors and see that happening before you get the symptoms, before even the beta amyloid plaques, that's a big win. And so that's an area that we're getting a lot of uptake in, working with neurologists, and super excited about some of the opportunities we're seeing there. The other area that's been, well, I'll give you one more neurology example, and autism. And there's an example of a condition that's considered to be a genetically inherited condition. And there's been a lot of work to identify what those genes are. And there's been some breakthroughs, but nothing that really pinpoints how this is occurring, what's the real functional background. And so we've been doing some work in that space as well. And we actually came up with an analysis using our multi-omic test that gives us a 99% predictive values of with three-year-olds, whether they have autism. So it's quite objective. And more than that, because we're looking at so many different variables, we can also see what else is going on. So there's autism, because of their diets, are they heading towards diabetes? And so you have this very heterogeneous population that is very serious. These poor individuals actually have life expectancies in the 40s. I mean, it's not great. So managing that up front, helping, and we actually think, and we have to prove this, and we're working hard to do that, to demonstrate that these interventions could actually be life-changing and get in front of some of the neurological changes that occur at such an early stage that they become hard to fix later on. So if we can catch it at that age 3 or even earlier, make those changes and see if we can actually prevent autism in its full manifestation from occurring. And I'll give you one more example where we're really excited in the sense of longitudinal monitoring of individuals. Mm-hmm. What we do in Canada, we have a direct-to-consumer model. And as we're coming to the U.S., we're really focused working with clinicians and, sure, and potentially pharmacies. With this direct-to-consumer, we have a few customers that have been taking it for annually as a sort of a checkup. And one of our most famous examples was a woman in her 60s, really very healthy, kind of symptom-free, but she had a few chronic conditions that were managing with the year. Coming out of COVID, though, and it was her fourth assessment, we identified that she was very high risk for pancreatic cancer. And so we're not practitioners, so we notified her practitioner. The practitioner looked at the evidence that we shared and pushed it into the clinical route. And they did some imaging and they identified these small lesions that were on her pancreas. They did needle biopsies and it determined that she was stage 1 pancreatic cancer, wow, eligible for surgery. She's had the surgery. We've retested her. All those values have gone back to normative ranges. So it just shows you how powerful that early detection is and that idea of just monitor over time, because life happens. We don't really know why the pancreatic cancer occurred. We have some evidence now that we can actually look back and try to figure that out. But we do know that if you get it early, you have a much better chance of survival than if you get it late. And it's a very aggressive cancer, so you want to get that one early.
Yeah, especially with pancreatic cancer. And are you guys thinking including this test? So what test is it? Like, what are they taking? Is it?
It's a blood sample.
A blood sample?
Yeah, so we work with phlebotomists, and it's, as I say, it's a single tube. And we only use about 250 microliters of the plasma. And then we run that through our mass spec systems, which are super sensitive, and they don't require a lot of material. And so that's quite convenient for everybody, and it's not too emotionally draining. We're looking at other collection methods to simplify that process, but so far that's been the most reliable, and really pride ourselves on the high quality of what we're producing. So home collection can be done, but not everybody's, you're not going to get the same sort of regular collection process, sure, that you would in a clinical situation.
And are you thinking of just a good idea is to do this once a year?
Yeah, I think that what we recommend is do it once, see where you're at. If you've got some things you need to work on them, get tested again, see if that's helping, whether it's a clinical intervention or just lifestyle changes. And if it's helping, then you probably just do an annual checkup and just make sure that we pick up those big changes that might happen, that for whatever reason, we're still learning why.
Love it. Thank you for that. And So topics coming up here, the buzzwords AI and machine learning. They're big in healthcare. They're big here at the meeting. In what ways do you see these technologies making a tangible impact on both healthcare providers and patients?
So AI is and includes machine learning. AI has become such a all-encompassing term now that when we say AI, it's almost meaningless. But I think with a lot of the excitement is on these generative AI tools, which are extremely powerful for the average person to apply artificial intelligence and expand on their ability to capture knowledge within a very broad database. We use it a great deal. We've been using it forever because how we identify all of our factors that we measure is through the peer-reviewed literature. And so for any individual to do that is an impossible task. But with these machine learning tools, natural language processing, now large language models, it is a much more simplified process. And basically you're amplifying really great brains with these tools that can do much more, much faster. And so we estimated that with what we did with natural language, which took 40 bioinformaticians to plow through all the world's literature, we can do in afternoons now with large language models. So we're super excited by that. But there's all kinds of applications. I think the first step beyond where we have experts using it, and I think sciences in general have been quite good at employing these tools. But in the clinical practice, like where physicians, I think for scheduling, helping them with the sort of day-to-day stuff, EHR, you can actually speak and capture the information, have it written down. And I think that's an amazing tool for practitioners because they're so time constrained that I think that's great. But everybody's time constraint, and with more and more data, how do we make sense of it? And I think you'll see with this whole democratization of data and information, more and more people will be able to access it. So it becomes a fun thing. But the challenge you always have is that information that I'm accessing real, and is the result coming back something I can actually use? And so that's where we put a layer of curation and scientific know-how and clinical know-how over top, just to make sure that what we're delivering to our clients is real and evidence-based.
Yeah, that's great, Rob. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate your perspective. And here, just help the healthcare industry could be slow to adopt these new technologies. As a health tech leader, what's the secret to bringing innovation to market and achieving adoption?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something we've been figuring out as we've gone along. And I think whenever you have something that's very complex, you have to bring it down to a level that it's accessible. So accessibility is the biggest thing, making it straightforward, not only to understand, but to implement, and making it easier, not only for the clinician, but everybody within the clinical ecosystem. So it's not the doctor that's going to onboard an individual into a platform. It's going to be the nurse or the nurse's assistant or somebody else in the clinic. So you really need to work at all levels. And so making every one of those steps like that big easy button for all along the way is absolutely critical. And we pride ourselves in really, first of all, taking very complex information and making it accessible even to physicians and then to the patients. But then how do we get that implementation so that anybody can get onboarded and start to use it? And that's the power, I think, of digital in general is to make things more accessible. So that's been, I would say that's one of the biggest things for us. And we love coming to conferences like this too, from a business development perspective, get the word out, have these conversations, understand what the needs are and make sure that we're fulfilling those needs. Because if you're not fulfilling a need, doesn't matter how good the technology is, it's really not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, well said, Rob. And some great pointers there for all the entrepreneurs listening on ways to get your tech. If it's not solving a problem, then keep your tech. Nobody wants it. And simplifying, there's so many complex things in healthcare. Simplifying them in a way that's digestible, accessible is a phenomenal tip by Dr. Frazier here on ways to succeed. So Rob, just as a closing here, like what call to action would you leave the listeners with today?
I would hope that the listeners get excited about what we're doing and start to take control of their health in a participant manner. We're pretty proud of the technology and what it can do. And we're pretty confident that it has an opportunity to change really the way we deliver health. And let's all work together to get in front of where our health is. And so that we take those actions early along so we don't suffer. We don't need to get into medicines, and we can maybe even stay out of the healthcare system or even stop calling it what we have today, a healthcare system, because it's really a sick care system. Let's think about healthcare and stay on top of our health and be more proactive. And I think we're after COVID, there's a lot more people that really are thinking more consciously about their health to be more resilient when the next pandemic happens, and they want to be on the front lines battling it rather than hiding away. So I think that's something we all need to keep in mind.
Love that. Thank you so much for today. This has been a real treat just to hear about the proactive work that we can do with Molecular You. You and the team there are really just doing some phenomenal work. So thank you so much. Listeners, for everyone listening today, make sure you check out the show notes. We'll include a summary of today's podcast, as well as links to get in touch with Dr. Frazier, Molecular You. So check those out and take action on what you heard today. Rob, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Saul. And thank you to all your listeners. I really appreciate the time.